10th canto, Bhagavad Lila, Putana Mardana, the killing of the demon Putana. Nanda Maharaj returned from Mathura and carefully considered what Vasudeva had said, believing that Vasudeva's words are valuable. Convinced that there might be some imminent danger, Nanda became afraid for Krishna. He took shelter at the lotus feet of God for protection. The fierce Rakshasi, Putana, was wandering throughout the towns and villages, killing innocent children under the order of Kansa. As a Kachari, she could move through outer space, and she utilized her tantric power to transform herself into a Swargadevi and entered Gokul. Her hips were full and her breasts were large and firm, seeming to burden her thin waist. Nicely dressed, hair adorned with mallika flowers was scattered about her beautiful face. She smiled very attractively while glancing upon everyone. Her beauty drew the attention of all the Brijvasis, especially the men. When the gopis saw her, they thought she was Lakshmi Devi, had personally come, holding a lotus flower in her hand to see her husband Krishna. Searching for small children, Putana entered Nanda Maharaj's house unobstructed under the influence of Yogamaya. Without asking any permission, she entered Nanda Baba's room and saw the baby Krishna sleeping on a bed. His unlimited prowess covered like a fire covered by ashes. Putana understood some or other that the child was not ordinary, but he was actually meant to kill all of the demons that are always causing disturbances. Bhagavan Sri Krishna could understand that Putana had come to kill him. To reassure her, Krishna pretended to be afraid of her, so he closed his eyes. Putana picked up the baby and put him on her lap, as a foolish person might pick up a sleeping snake, mistaking it for a rope. Putana's heart was fierce and cruel, and although she looked and acted like a very affectionate, tender mother, she resembled a sharp sword in a jeweled sheath. Captivated by Putana's beauty, Mother Yashoda and Rohini did not stop her. They simply remained silent. Putana pushed her stan into Krishna's mouth. Her nipple was smeared with strong poison. It was immediately effective. Krishna became angry with her for killing so many children in Brajbhumi. Grabbing her breast, Krishna squeezed it tightly with both hands, then sucked out the poison and Putana's life. Feeling excruciating pain, Putana cried out, "Please leave me! Suck my breast no longer!" Her eyes wide open, perspiring profusely, her arms and legs flailing about, Putana screamed loudly, so loudly that the mountains and outer space and lower planets were trembling. People fell down on the ground, fearing that thunderbolts were going to strike them dead. In this way, Putana lost her life, her mouth open, hair, arms, legs spread out. She fell down on the pasturing ground in her original form as a Rakshasi. And Ananda Vrindavan Champa says she fell down outside on the outskirts of Braj in Mathura side when she collapsed. She was 12 miles long. And she fell down, and when she fell down, she landed on Kamsa's private mango orchard. And it was mango season, August, Janmashtami, you know, right after 6 days after Janmashtami. So it was mango season. So Consoso mangoes. And she landed on the mango grove and crushed all his favorite mango trees and smashed them all up. So she ruined all the mangoes. Her gigantic body, 12 miles long, smashed all the trees for 12 miles. Her sharp teeth resembled the front of a plow. Her nostrils were deep like mountain caves, and her breasts were like big slabs of stone fallen from a hill. She had copper red hair, and sockets of her eyes were like blind wells. Her fearful thighs resembled the banks of a river. Her arms and legs were like huge bridges, and her abdomen looked like a dried up lake. The hearts, ears, and heads of the gopis and gopas were shocked by the Rakshasi screaming, and when they saw the fierce wonder of her body, they became even more alarmed. Without fear, child Krishna was playing on the upper portion of Putana's breast. When the gopis saw this, they picked him up, overjoyed that he was safe and sound. Although Putana could expand her size to become greatly powerful, Krishna, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is all-powerful in any form, even as a small baby. Yashoda and Rohini and elderly gopis waved a cow's tail to give protection to the child, Sri Krishna. They washed baby Krishna with cow urine and smeared him with the dust raised by the cows, Goduli. They chanted the 12 names of Vishnu on the 12 parts of his body as a kavacha. And as they did that, they touched his body with cow dung, beginning with his forehead, Om Keshavaya Namaha. In this way, the child was given protection. The gopis did achman and performed Nyas mantra, applying it to their bodies and Krishna's body for purification. The gopis chanted many purifying mantras containing the name of Lord Vishnu. Om Trivikramaya Namaha, Om Vavanaya Namaha, Om Vishnavaya Namaha, Om Damodaraya Namaha, Om Padmanabhaya Namaha, Om Sridharaya Namaha, Om Rishikeshaya Namaha, Om Manasudanaya Namaha, Om Trivikramaya Namaha, Om Keshavaya Namaha, Om Vasudevaya Namaha. If one cannot remember all the names of the Lord, he can simply chant Vishnu, 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 or the Hare Krishna mantra. Even Ayurvedic Shastra recommends that while taking medicine, one should remember Lord Vishnu, because the medicine is not everything. It's actually told specifically in Skanda Puran, before taking Ayurvedic medicine, two things are supposed to be done. One thing is that Tulsi is put on it, Tulsi leaf, and it's offered to the Lord. All Ayurvedic medicine is supposed to be offered to the Lord first. And then in Mass, whatever, you take the whole jar of Chavan Prash and offer it, take a part out, offer it to the Lord, and then it's considered offered after that. And you chant that whenever you're taking some tablets or pills or whatever, Om Keshavaya Nama, Om Anata, no, Om Anataya Nama, Om Govindaya Nama, Om Achyutaya Nama, Om Achyutaya Nama, Om Anataya Nama, Om Govindaya Nama, these three mantras are to be chanted. Om Achyutaya Nama, Om Anantaya Nama, Om Govindaya Nama. Then you take the medicine. Medicine is not everything. We should always remember that the real protector and the real maintainer is none other than Lord Vishnu. The gopis chanted mantras to counteract evil witches, for they are the greatest enemies of children. The mantras counteract evil spirits and are always ready to give trouble to the body and cause loss of memory, madness, and bad dreams. Bhutas, pretas, pishachas, rakshashis. Such evil spirits can be vanquished simply by chanting the holy name of Lord Vishnu, Hare Krishna. Upon hearing it, the evil spirits become afraid and book. They run away. Mother Yashoda picked up Gopal and offered him the nipple of her own breast to suck and made him lie down on his bed. Nanda Maharaj and other gopas had just then returned from Mathura after paying their taxes to Kamsa. And upon seeing the gigantic dead body of Putina, they became astonished. Nanda Maharaj exclaimed, "My dear friends, you must know that Anakadundubi has become a great master of mystic power. Otherwise, how could Vasudev," that's his other name, "have foreseen that such a calamity would occur in our Brajagokul?" Nanda took Krishna's lap and smelled his head with great satisfaction, relieved that his beloved Gopal was saved from a great danger. This is the difference between a Kshatriya and a Vaishya. By studying the political situation, Vasudev could see what would happen, whereas Nanda could only guess that Vasudev was a great saintly person who had developed mystic powers. Magic. The residents of Vrindavan cut Putana's body into pieces with their axes and burned it up as one would burn a snake after killing it. Because if you don't burn the snake, it may come back to life. Okay. While they were burning the body of Putana, the air smelled like sandalwood, because she had contacted Krishna. Krishna sucked Putana's breath so she became freed of all her material contamination. And that's, it actually emanated the fragrance of Aguru. Putana was very fond of drinking the blood of human children. And with that desire, she approached Krishna. But because she first offered her breast to Krishna, she attained the greatest achievement. What then can be said of those like Mother Yashoda, who offer their breasts out of love? Putana attained the position of a nurse assistant of Mother Yashoda in the spiritual world because Krishna sucked her breast. What then can be said of the cows whose nipples Krishna sucked with great pleasure for 1 year, and who offer their milk very jubilantly, just like mothers? Putana Mardana Leela Ki Jai. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in his Krishna Samhita and Chaitanya Shikshamrita, he has a very nice description in his own realization, although it's not written anywhere else by any other commentators on Bhagavatam. He saw that these various demons in Krishna Leela, he, in his own spurti or realization, he could understand that they represent different bad qualities. He saw them as representing different anarthas and aparadhas and anarthas which prevent a devotee. These are anarthas, anartha nivritti. And the presence of such anarthas and within a devotee, they prevent him from becoming steady in bhakti and attaining ruchi, nishtha ruchi and bhav and ultimately love of God. So he considered that these demons represent different anarthas that block the path of Braj Bhajan. They are obstructions that prevent one from attaining the perfection of human life, which is Krishna Prema, Radha Govinda's Yugal Seva. And his contention was that by reading these chapters, if we read these chapters and think that these demons that Krishna kills represents these bad qualities that may be residing within me, there's a little snake-like qualities within me, and there's witch-like qualities and duck-like qualities and all these particular anarthas that they represent. You read these chapters and pray to Krishna, then by the mercy of the Bhagavatam and Krishna and the powerful Shabda Brahmana Bhagavatam, then these anarthas will become removed. So even though some people, for example, when this point is brought up about Bhaktivinoda Thakur's realization, some Vaishnava, they say, that's his idea, but this is not mentioned by the Goswamis, so we can't accept it. But at least in principle, one can accept the point that simply the fact of hearing the Bhagavatam, hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam with the sincere Srimad Bhagavatam as the Srupa of Krishna, and simply by reading the chapters of the 10th canto, which are full of Krishna consciousness and full of rasa and purity, by reading those chapters, one will become purified, because the Bhagavatam itself is punya shravana. The hearing is purifying. And in that regard, no one can argue that. Everyone will agree that the Bhagavatam is purifying. So if you're reading the chapters of Bhagavatam, you're praying to Krishna, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, our paramparam guru, etc. He's telling us that this demon represents this anartha. So I accept that. I believe that, my dear Lord Krishna. So I'm reading this chapter, 10th canto. I'm praying to you to please remove this anartha from me. Then Krishna will understand that yayatamam prapadyante tam sataiva bhajamiham. Will understand the sincerity of your surrender and the sincerity of your intention and purpose. And he will personally remove that anartha and obstacle from the heart. He will come and take out the greed and anger and lust and envy, which these various demons represent, and other things also. So therefore, even the Bhagavatam itself is describing its own pure potency in the first canto, chapter 2, verse 17. Shrinvatam swakata Krishna punya shravana kirtanaha rijantaksto yabhadrani virunoti saritsatam. Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead, who's the Paramatma. Ridyantasto, who is standing, sto, or situated, stan, anta, inside the ridi. The Paramatma, Krishna is the Paramatma in everyone's heart, and the benefactor of the saintly devotees. He personally cleanses the inauspicious desires for material enjoyment from the heart of the devotee, who has developed the urge to hear his narrations, which are in themselves virtuous when properly heard and chanted. Srimatam Swakata Krishna. Swakata. So his own, those who want to hear my words, Swakata, Krishna Kata, Srimatam, those who want to hear, then Punya Shravana Kirtana. This kirtan, this hearing and chanting, hearing the Bhagavatam and chanting or speaking the Bhagavatam, Shravana Kirtana, is Punya. It's purifying. Virunoti Surit Satam. Because Krishna is a Surit. Surit means a benefactor. He's a very, very dear friend. Surit Satam. Who is he a friend of? He's a friend of the Satam. Satam means the saints, the saintly people, the devotees, saintly devotees. And Virunoti. Virunoti means cleanses. Cheto Dharvana Marjanam. He cleanses. So Krishna will personally, from his vantage point within our heart as a super soul, he'll personally remove all these anomalies and anarthas so that we will become nishcha in our nishchita and our bhakti and become pure. So in that regard, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying that Putana Rakshasi, she represents some demoniac qualities that we may all have a touch of inside our heart. And he describes those qualities as who is Putana? Putana represents the deceitful guru who teaches karma and mukti, enjoyment and salvation. And Putana also represents crafty persons and sadhus represent the Putana tattva. And Putana represents the false devotee who's attached to enjoyment and liberation. So being merciful to Putana, or the devotee, as a baby, Krishna killed Putana to protect the newborn affection of devotion for him. So when one's a new devotee, and he's awakening his devotion and seva bhav and service mood towards Krishna, then Krishna himself will protect that baby as he protected himself. He was protected from Putana. So the baby of bhakti will be protected by Krishna. So if we have any of this kind of Putanic-like qualities of craftiness, being crafty or some type of deceitful person, and if we're attached Putin represents a false devotee who is attached to enjoyment and liberation. So we have, that's kind of like sucking the blood. Putin is sucking the blood. The child's alive, the baby's alive, and she comes and sucks his blood. So the baby of bhakti is alive. But if that baby, if we try to poison that baby, like Putin tried to poison, we try to poison that baby of bhakti by injecting desires for material enjoyment or liberation, and that represents Putana. Yeah. So then we can read this chapter and pray to Krishna to destroy that Putana-like tendency in our mind and heart, which may want to mix material enjoyment with the baby of bhakti, the infant of pure devotion, who is crawling in our heart, reaching out and crying out to serve Krishna.